Okay, right, so we were going through all the different cases that the Gemara lists, where the Gemara is weighing what exactly the level of ownership is that you need in order to violate Bali Matzei. And in general, right, we noted that two factors, right, are really relevant. One is Lacha, right? Lacha normally implies ownership. Right, but it might be like partial, and that's really right, not clear. And the second is matsui, which implies less, right, than ownership, or more precisely, right, is different. Right, that it's different. The ownership, we saw several nafkemina, in terms of achrayot, in terms of hefker. So let us continue taking these up. So briefly, let's go back to the Gemara's. I said we would come back to this, the issue of Davar HaGorim Limamon, right? So the bottom of Haman Bet, the Gemara had raised the case of the army who imposes liability on the... on the person who's supposed to be providing them food, right? Yes?
Yeah.
Yes. Now we saw there, there's a machlokas how to understand it, that the Rambam says that despite the fact that they were not actually liable legally, for the purpose of chametz, they are chayiv. So the Rambam very clearly holds that the fact that you can be liable simply because you have now accepted responsibility, but you're not, sorry, you haven't accepted responsibility because you are practically going to be responsible for chametz, even though you didn't accept responsibility, very much points to the fact that we're talking about something that is a different model. Right? It's not ownership. I didn't accept responsibility at all. It's one thing to say that someone who accepted responsibility is partial ownership, but here, I didn't accept responsibility at all. The army is imposing that responsibility on me. I mean, David, as we saw, did not accept this and requires that you actually need to have some sort of legal ownership. And the Chiddush of Rava is that in this case, they did somehow accept Achrayut such that it made it like them. Yes? That's what we saw yesterday, right? Now, if you remember, what we ran through was that the Gemara tries to hang this issue on the question of Davar HaGorem LeMamon, right? Now, in both directions. So the first possibility in the Gemara was, Hani chlamander lamander yomar Davar HaGorem LeMamon kim mamon dami. Elamander lav kim mamon dami ma'ikil me'mar, shani hachadam arka lo imatze. So possibility one that the Gemara says is if you hold that Davar HaGorem LeMamon equals Mamon, right? Then it makes sense that you are Chayav for Baal Yira'eh and Baal Yimatzeh, because even if you didn't accept liability or whatever exactly you think the case is, the point is that now, if I lose this Chametz, I will have to pay money. And if you think that the fact that something causes money equals money, right, that means that I have some monetary rights or something, or monetary something in this chametz, right? So the Gemara says its hava mina was that this only is true for the shita that davar gorem lamamon kamamon dami, and then the Gemara says, no, that's not true. That would be true if it said don't own or something, but since it says Baal Yimatzeh, it's more expansive. That even if Davar HaGorem LeMamon is not Kamamon Dami, so then you'd still be Chayav, right? That was possibility one. Possibility two in the Gemara was that if you hold it's Lav Kamamon Dami, that's why you need a special Pasuk by Chametz. But if it's Kimamon, then you should be Chayav. Not because chametz is unique halacha, but simply because you have monetary rights in it.
So the Gemara then answers that no, since if nothing happens to it, I return the chametz to. Please take your seat. I return it as is, right, extant to the non-Jewish army, since at that point, right, in theory, nothing, right, there'd be no implications on me. Now, even if it's called mamon for the purpose of chametz, that might not be enough, right? So the Gemara itself is toying with the possibilities, where the first possibility comes to the idea that matzui means that it's we need less than ownership, and the second one says we need more. The implications of both, and that is different, right? But what I want to do just briefly, and I didn't want to get too much into it, but I want to give you a little bit on this principle of davar hagorem lemamon kemamon dami. Now, what does it mean? So this is a machloket. This comes from machloket in Baba Kama, where chachamim hold davar hagorem lemamon lav kemamon dami, and Rabbi Shimon holds davar hagorem lemamon kemamon dami. Now, what's the context? So the Mishnah tells you as follows: that gana v'hikdish v'achar kach tavachu machar. If someone stole and then sanctified a karban to the Beit HaMikdash, and then it was sanctified to the Beit HaMikdash, and then he shechted it and sold it. Right, so normal theft, you're chayav what? Right,
gneva. Theft. Right, and in tavachu machar, it's four or five, depending on whether it's a sheep or a...
Or an ox, right?
So what happens if you steal, then it was dedicated to the Beit HaMikdash, and then you do Tvichol Mechira?
And that's the Gemara's case. What? Not you. He did.
Huh.
Right?
Oh.
So, right? Right, meaning, yeah, Reuven stole it from Shimon. Then Shimon sanctifies the Beit HaMikdash. Again, we'll leave aside the question of how can you do that, Zeb Shalom Shalosh, or whatever. Yeah, because now you'll be violating Elah, who knows. And now he shechs it. So the Tanna Kamma says, you're only liable double. Because once, right, because it was already Kodesh, by time, he did the Tzvichol Mechira, and the Halacha of Dalet v'chamesh, of four times and five times, only applies when you steal something that belongs to a human. Okay? Rabbi Shimon, right, and what's it, and the reason that the Chacham hold is because it says you steal from Re'ehu, your friend. Re'ehu and not Gavoah. Okay? I know I'm oversimplifying this, but fine. Rabbi Shimon says no. It depends whether it's Kachim that you accept Achrayot or Kachim that you don't accept Achrayot. Right? So Kachim that you accept achrayot on are considered, meaning the original owner accepts achrayot, right? That if they get lost, he will make it up to the Beit HaMikdash. So Rav Shimon says that if he commits that he'll pay it to the Beit HaMikdash, then it's then that's called the davar hagorem lamamon. Why is it called the davar hagorem lamamon? Because if he loses, it's not his anymore, right? It's not his anymore. It belongs to the other guys. But if he loses it, since he accepts his liability, and therefore he doesn't own it, but it is a goreim lamamon for him. Because if he loses it, he will now have to pay it back. That makes it enough Shimon's that when Reuven now shechs it, he is shechting that which is still associated with Shimon, and therefore he's chayev dalid vehei. Okay. Is that clear?
No.
You can tell me if it's not. It was confusing. Yeah? Okay, fine. Yes.
So can you make something hekdesh post-shchita?
Post-shchita? It depends what. You could be makdesh something to the Berek Abayit, if it's shechted.
But that would no longer have...
Berek Abayit, which is the ownership. There are different types of kachem, right? There's kodesh from the Mizbeach, kodesh of the... Better go buy it, right? That just belongs to the treasury. These are different standards.
Okay.
So it's more complicated. I'm actively holding myself back from getting into the kachem complexities.
Got it.
Now it's worth noting that the Yerushalmi also deals with this issue. I'm going to note that there's a contradiction between Breitot as to whether you violate Bal Yirah Bal Yimatzeh with that which belongs to Hekdesh. And the Gemara, in one of its answers, distinguishes between, just like the Bavli, Chayev b'achrayutan or not, whether you accepted a Chayev or not. Like, sorry. The Gemara just, the Yerushalmi suggests that it could be that if you accepted a Chayev, then you are liable for Bal Yirah Bal Yimatzeh, even owning that which belongs to the Beit HaMikdash, because even though we said Lachem,
Lecha rather, Velo Lagavoa, right? But according to Rishimon, it was Davar Gomon Kamaman Dami, if you accept a Chayev, it's not just God's, it's also somewhat yours, and therefore you're liable. If you accept no Achrayim, it's only Gavoas,
and therefore you're not liable. Okay? Now, the implication is that according to Chachamim, even if you accept Achrayim, you are exempt. Right? Now, this, it seems to be in tension with the Bavli, which says that Kabbalah Achrayim, Kabbalah Achrayah makes you Chayah. We saw that even by a Goy, right? Even by the case of the Goyish army. If you have a Achrayah, you're Chayah. So, Roy Salvechik quoted from his father that there's no Machloket, that they're dealing with different cases. Okay? The Bavli's case is talking about Achrayah, which I accept. I take Mordechai's object, and now I accept Achrayah. Kachim isn't really like that. Right? When I say it's Achrayah, it's more of a neder. Right? I'm saying I'm going to bring X to the Beit HaMikdash, and if it gets lost, I still have to bring X. That's what Achrayah means there. It's not that so much I invested in this object per se. Well, it's right, meaning the point is that if this gets lost, I'm going to have to bring something else to Beit HaMikdash. But it's not that I care about this object per se. It's that if this object is lost, I need to bring something else. But that's because I committed, not as opposed to where I watch that which belongs to Mordechai. I've accepted responsibility for this object. The reason I have to pay him back is not because I committed to pay him back. It's because I committed to give him back his object. If I was derelict, so I have to compensate him.
So it's a practical.
Yes, basically. Right? And therefore he says that in the Bavli, we're talking about cases where I accept achrayut on a particular object, and therefore it emerges from the Shmira. That's why that could be looked at as some sort of ownership. Right? Whereas in the Yerushalmi, it's much harder to believe that because you're talking about a neder. Now, I bring this all just to point out that what this analysis by Ramosha Salavechik points out is that when we say davar agaram lamamon kamamon dami, it seems to be, right, there are different cases. It has to be that there's actually, right, some intrinsic connection, right, to the object itself. Right, it's not just this, if this object gets destroyed, I'm going to owe money. What Ramosha Salavechik is pointing to is that it has to be that I lose money because it's reflective of the fact that I have some sort of intrinsic connection to the object, okay? I know that was a little bit complicated. That's why I don't want to spend too much time on it, but I just wanted to raise that analysis. And with that, we can move on. Okay. Let us now continue. So we had left off. Let's see, which ones had we already done? So that's a little bit of Davar HaGarim LaMamon.
Is the stuff that you just did on the board in the summer?
I didn't give you anything on that. So now let's move on to the level of Achrayot, okay? So now we've gone back to this issue that accepting Achrayot is something that's going to make you Chayot, okay? Now, if you remember, we talked about why, right? So again, why is Achrayot going to be make you liable? So either accepting liability creates partial ownership, right, or, right, you don't need, right? Matsui tells you that it needs to be whatever, right? Rotze bikiyumo, to use the Ramban's language, that you want it to exist, but not that you need ownership per se. Right? Yes?
Yeah.
So now, how are we going to figure this out? So the best way of testing this is to figure out, okay, achrayut means a lot of things. Achrayut means a lot of things. Accepting liability has a range of meanings. And what does it mean here? What does it mean here? So if you want to look at the summary, and we can go back and forth between the summary and the Rishonim, if this helps you, is, okay, well, how much achrayut can someone accept? So I know that Avi and Gabe were doing this morning, so you tell me, right, what type of achrayut exists, right? So when I'm a, right, when I'm a shomer, so there's three levels. What are the three levels? There's chinam, right, where I don't get paid, and then what am I chayav for? Only if I'm negligent, only if I'm posheya. Yeah? Then there's shomer sachar, in which I'm chayav for what? Not for everything. I'm chayav for gneva va'aveda, right, to get stolen or lost, but I'm exempt for onus, right? If something out of my control happens. And then there's the highest level, which is shoel, where I borrow it, and because I get all the benefit, right, because, you know, right, so a shomer sachar and a renter are the same level. Right, socher, a shomer sachar and socher are the middle level. Because the reason is very simple. Chinam, the depositor, gets all the benefit, so the custodian has the least responsibilities. By shoel, all the benefit goes to the custodian, the borrower, because he's not paying for it and he gets to use it, and therefore he has the highest level of responsibility. In the middle, if I get paid for Shmira, then we're both benefiting from this arrangement. And if I rent it, we're both benefiting from this arrangement because one of us gets money and one of us, right, has their object protected or gets it used, right? It's being used. And therefore, you have a middle level of liability. So the only exception is Derech Tashmisha, correct. Is that because I borrowed it, right, you gave me your piano to use for the next month. So if it just wears down, right, then I'm patur. Because the reason is, you gave it to me to play, right, for a month. You knew what that was. If you gave me a piano that can't handle a month worth, that's your problem, right? So yes, right, all except for Derech Tashmisha.
Is the burden of proof on the borrower then?
Well, it depends. You can look, right? It's not like, if it's like broken, that'd be one thing. If like, I don't know, but not even the wires, I don't know, like it just wears down, right? Like inside, right? Like the...
Yeah,
right, yeah, whatever, right? It wears down, so it doesn't make the right... Whatever, that would be the definition. Good. Those are the three levels. So, what level of achrayut... Right, so what level of achrayut are you responsible for? Okay, what level of liability are you responsible for? So, there are three main positions. I gave it to you on the sheet. Ritva says, this is right here. Hadakiba le'achrayit perish stomach almar vafilu kishomer china. So, Ritva says, even if I accepted the lowest level of liability, that's enough to make me violate chametz. He said, so why does it say in the case of the army, if it gets lost or if it gets stolen? Shouldn't have just said, right? So he says, Mishum dahachi kushka demilta, v'davka nagda kibo, because in that case, it's true, they would have held them liable, right, even for more, right? The army was particularly demanding, but that wasn't necessary to make you liable. Even if I do Mordechai a favor, and I accept his chametz, right? Or I borrow from a guy, or I watch a guy's chametz, or whatever. That's enough, right? A guy, so not Mordechai, right? Let's use a guy's case and leave the Jew case out. But I what? Mordechai. Mordechai. See, the funny thing is that Mordechai itself is already, as many academics are, possibly a very idolatrous name, right? Because it may derive from Marduk, right? From the chief. Right. There's questions about this. Your brother hates this theory. Your brother had, like, gave me an earful about this theory. No. This is an academic theory he doesn't like. But there's a well-known academic theory that Mordechai and Esther's names, right, especially since we know Esther has two names. Her Jewish name is Hadassah, or not, right? So many have claimed that Mordechai derives from Marduk, which is the chief god of the pantheon in Persia, right? And Esther derives from Ishtar, right? Which is the feminine goddess, right? Because those were their assimilated names, right? Those are their...
That sounds right.
Yeah, so many academics accept this, and Ephraim does not, and he was, like, furious about it. He gave me an earful for, like, I don't know how long, four years ago, on why he doesn't like this academic theory, and it's sloppy, and okay, fine.
That is the first Mordechai.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, but fine, Mordechai, if you want. You can trademark that.
It had to come from okay? Somewhere, right?
Yeah, anyways, fine, so let's say, I am guarding Mordechai's chametz. So the Ritva says, look, even if I am a Shomer Chinam and I accept limited liability, that is enough for me to be Chayev, right? The fact that the Gemara, right, and he says, anything that would be Chayev at all, even Bidine Goyim, because of Din Malchuta Dina, that would be enough, okay? That's the Ritva. Tosvot in Shavuot says, Right, what does that mean? Right, he says, it says stolen or lost, but it doesn't mean stolen or lost. What does it mean? Stolen or lost, even at gunpoint. Which is even ones. And why? Because he says if it weren't the case, the because if not, if a Jew lent to the Akum, it would automatically Asr Bahana. Rabbi David takes the middle position. What does he say?
What does the Asr Bahana
say? Right, because if I lent it to a guy, right, several people, right, pointed out that if you lend to the goy, you're not chayav, right? If it's in the goy's rashut, right, that's following the Ramban, right? And we talked about matzui and stuff like that. So he says, but I don't understand. If that's the case, if I lend it to the non-Jew, if I lend to the guy, no. I lend to the guy using my chametz as a mashkon, then it would be asr b'ana because since he doesn't accept the highest, because he doesn't, what is it? God, 1 second. The ilo mechayev onsen afilo mechayev b'chrayev gneva veda in zokuk levayer. Right, because if I only accepted Gneva Veda, I would not have to get rid of it. Tivlav Hache, Yisrael Shehilvet Li Akum. Alchimtso, Yasser Bahana'a. Right, we said that a Midoraita, that if a guy, if you lend it to a guy, use the Chametz Mashkon, it is not Asr Bahana'a because it is in his property. If I demanded, right, the highest level of if I allowed lesser responsibility, right, because if I left it with some responsibility for me and that was enough, right, then it would still be mine. I think that's right. Okay, Rabbeinu David says, I think that's right, but I may be confusing it. Rabbeinu David says, correct, but he's right, he doesn't want it to be yours. But it isn't. Correct. It's entirely the non-Jews. Yeah, even though for these purposes. I think that's right. Rabbeinu David says, no, wait, other way around. Sorry. No. It's where a Jew lent money. I got that wrong. A Jew lent money to the non-Jew and took the chametz as... Right, that's what it is. Right, the okay. I lend money to Mordecai and I take his chametz, right? So now, the halacha is that the chametz is mutter behana, which implies that it's not mine fully. Tosafot said, how could it not be mine fully? I accepted some level of liability onto the chametz. Answer, only if you accept the highest level of liability does it become mine. Right? But I didn't. And since I didn't accept the highest level of liability, it's not mine. And that's why, even though I have it in my rishut, and it is a mashkon for the loan that I gave, it doesn't make it asur b'hana because I didn't accept the highest level of liability. Thank you, Kobe. Good. What? One second. Let's just see Rabbeinu David who says that. Right, Rabbeinu David, what's his source that we go the middle level? No, it's the Gemara, right? Because the Gemara says, by the case of the army, the ilu mignav, the ilu mitvad b'shuchotayichu kai, that if it gets stolen or lost, you would be chayev. Now, normally, when do we say you're chayev only for gneva aveda? The middle level, right? By shomer sachar. And he quotes the Rambam, kadav rav Moshe bar Maimon zal, she'otu m'nei chela hayu on sinodan l'shalem et achomets. That the Rambam says that they were being coerced. So we saw this already yesterday, right? That if you were forcing them, that wouldn't be achrayed. Right? If I coercion, being coerced to pay, that isn't ownership. That's just gezel. Right? It really belonged to you. You just had to pay it. Did I give you the wrong line? I gave you the earlier line in Rabbeinu David. Okay, well, sorry. I gave you the line of what we were talking about yesterday in Rabbeinu David, where he argues the Rambam. Okay, but just know the Rambam says, right, Rabbeinu David says the middle case. Now, does this fit into our Chakira? So it's not clear. So here, if you want to look at Rubik's summary, again, we just need to move through this. So he says, it's tempting to analyze. Look at the bottom of the page. It's tempting to analyze this controversy using the same chakira as above. Right? If all that is required is a psychological interest in the chametz, then achrayut pshia is sufficient. Right? Meaning, if you just think it's psychological, that maybe it's someone chinam who has minimal connection, but still has some sort of connection, so you'd say maybe that's enough. Maybe. One second. The shomer has to be concerned and has to watch over the object. If achrayut gneva aveda is necessary, then apparently a measure of ownership is required. Gneva and aveda have an onus quality. While they are avoidable, they do not result from the outright negligence on the part of the shomer. If the chametz is stolen, the shomer is responsible not because he was negligent, but because the object is his responsibility, comparable to davar agorim lamamon. This is, in fact, the argument of Rabbeinu David. Now, arguing against the opinion that achrayut pshia over shomer chinam is sufficient, he writes, it must be shomer sachar, for the cause of liability is that it is considered his, as I read above. Right? Rabbeinu David explicitly uses the language of it is his. Right? Next paragraph. However, applying this logic to the Rambam will result in a self-contradiction. Because we've already demonstrated the Rambam maintains that lo yimatzei in lecha together means psychological interest in the welfare of the chametz. The Rambam, however, agrees with Rabbeinu David that achrayut gneva aveda is necessary to transgress lo yimatzei. By the argument advanced in the previous paragraph, we should accordingly conclude that Rambam requires a measure of legal ownership, contradicting our previous conclusion. The answer is that there's a basic difference between the responsibility of a shomer chinam to avoid negligence and that of a shomer sachar who may indemnify the owner in cases of theft or loss. Now, what's the difference? So, what Rubik suggests is the following. Is that maybe really it is. That if you think it's shomer chinam, this shows you that you need no ownership. right? But he says the Shomer Chinam pays because he was negligent. The Shomer Sachar pays because he has responsibility for the object. But even according to the definition of Rotsa B'Kiyumo, showing a positive psychological interest in the object, the Rambam apparently argues that a Shomer Chinam has no interest in the continued existence of the object, but only in his avoiding negligence. So Ravik says as follows. A Shomer Chinam clearly does not own the object. So if you say you're liable, right, for Bal Yirah, even when you are Shomer Chinam, that clearly holds Matsui. But what about Gneiva V'Avida? So he says you could take this in two ways. One is to say, Shomer Chinam, right? He said, look, if you need ownership, then is a Shomer Chinam, being a Shomer Chinam, going to be enough to make you chayav for Bal Yirah Bal Yimatzeh? No. If you don't require ownership, is Shomer Chinam enough? So he says, maybe yes, maybe no. Depends how you look at Shomer Chinam, right? Because one way of looking at it is, well, I don't want to be negligent, and if I'm negligent, I'm liable. That shows I care about the chametz, and therefore, I'm rotze b'kiyumo, right? Well, however, there's another way of looking at it, and that is,
you accepted some
I don't care about the object. How do I know I don't care about the object?
Because any other way.
Because if it gets stolen or lost, it's not my fault. The only time that I'm liable is what? Right, I mean, that's what he's saying. Another way of looking at it is, no, the fact that I'm liable when I'm poshea doesn't show I care about the object. It shows that I have to avoid being poshea. I have to avoid being negligent, right? I mean, I don't care about the object. If the object gets lost and burns, it's not my problem. I personally have to prevent myself from doing something that would make me liable. That doesn't show... Right, but that doesn't show that I care about the chametz. Right, so therefore, Ravik notes that even within Rotsa B'Kiyumo, Shomer Chinam could go either way. Because you could say, right, that this shows I care, or you could say, I don't care, right, about the chametz. What do I care about? I care about me, right, avoiding... Right? Pshia. Right? I care about myself avoiding Pshia, and therefore, even within Matsui, right, Chinam might, right, you might say that I don't care about the object.
Don't Knasa typically have set standards, so if we...
It's not a Knas.
Then what would it be? If it's compensation, then we do care about the object.
So, not necessarily. Pshia is complicated. Right? But essentially, look. So Ravik goes on to explain, you'll tell me, oh, it's kanas, but no. The Rambam defines poshea as kemavik. Okay, now this is very, bear with me for a second, okay? Mazik, what's mazik?
Oh, because you said, oh, you can...
What's mazik?
Oh, damages.
Damages. When I damage Kobe's computer, okay? If I damage Kobe's computer... I am liable. Why am I liable? Because I damaged his computer, right? That's why. In advance of me damaging his computer, which I'm not going to do, Kobe, do I have any connection to his... Right? No. Now, what's the problem with poshea, calling poshea kemazik? I do have a pre-existing relationship, right? So, when you say poshea is kemazik, right, it's like mazik, so it means that
it's not like it's sort of
meaning,
like it's like we've literally reset the status quo.
Meaning,
so that
it's that mazik. It's that within the context of our current relationship that I've accepted upon myself, right? We change the standards of what counts as mazik, but still, we fundamentally look at mazik as how that I don't really have a pre-existing right meaning. The same way I'm liable for mazik when I damage Kobe's computer, not because I have a pre-existing relationship to it, but because I damaged it and I owe him.
Right,
so
right,
Shomer, so Pshia, right? Pshia, even though yes, Pshia only exists in the context of Shomer Chinam, it's still closer to saying that I'm liable because I damaged and not because I had a pre-existing relationship. right? So in that sense, you say it's not a kenas, right? It's not a kenas when I damage it and I have to pay. It's I damage his object, right? And now I need to compensate it, but that doesn't show that it was mine before. It just shows that I owe him money now. So if that's the case, right now, what if you require Shomer Sakar? So it's yes, yes, and that's why I said it's more complicated, because it's mazik within the context of a certain relationship, and that's why it's not smooth, right? Because it's not fair to say that I have no connection. I obviously do have a connection, right? Fine, but yes, but it's a stat, but the new status is one in which I do have some sort of connection to the object, right? Fine, but for chametz that creates a problem. Right, for chametz that creates a problem. That's why you're going to have to really get into what does it mean, right? But you're right. Meaning it's not perfect. That's why it's kim mazik, because it is only mazik within the context of a shmira relationship. They're mostly similar, yes, but not necessarily identical. What? Well, yeah. Meaning mazik in general. What would count? I'd have to think of a case that would not, the precise case that would count as pshia but not count as mazik. Right? I mean, Gemara talks about it. I mean, could be cases where I didn't actively damage it, but I was grossly negligent in the way that I guarded it. Right? That's really the difference. Sure. Right? That's the difference. Is that pshia isn't necessarily active. It could be extreme dereliction of duty.
Well, if you were to put it in the field, though, even if it wasn't...
But I didn't put it there, right? Or whatever, right? They left it in, right? Something like that, right? Like, they left it in the... Right? They left it in my backyard for me to watch, right? So, if Kobe just leaves something in my backyard and I'm not a shomer, right? He just parks it there, right? Then, when something happens, it's not my fault, right? But if I accepted Shmira and now, you know, something very obvious is happening, right? So yeah, then that dereliction of duty would be chayev. Now, what about if you require Shomer Sachar? So it could mean that means you need partial bialut, and definitely if you require the highest level, that you need to be a shoel, right? That really points to the idea that you need partial ownership, because a shoel, right, is at some level a partial owner. The Ritva, who just accepts the notion that it's Shomer Chinam, very easily fits into the right Rotsa Bekiyumo camp, right? Because he says, look, even though I have minimal things since I care at all, right, you don't need the lumdos that we use to get out of the Rambam, right? You just say the Ritva says that Shomer Chinam is Chayev, right? Because I have some sort of connection to it, okay? Yeah, I mean. Yeah.
Then when say you make some sort of beautiful doll and put a stale Oreo inside of it because it's the heart of the doll.
Oh my god.
Stale Oreos, heart of the doll, yeah, okay. I think I'm following you.
You spent a bunch of work and a bunch of money trying to make this doll and then you sell it to someone. You still care that the doll remains in good condition now.
I understand, but there's going to be some limit to this, right? Meaning, if I have an emotional connection to, I don't know, is there a biggest cookie in the world? Guinness Book of World Record cookie?
Yes.
I don't know.
Yes.
Sure. Oh, okay. If I like, I am a obsessive world record
or you have an heirloom
aficionado, and I therefore care about every world record, right? So I care that this biggest cookie doesn't get eaten by a mouse, right? Not even one bite, because then it will move it back into second place, and I care. Obviously, it doesn't matter because I have no connection to it. It's purely psychological. Meaning, even within the psychological thing, it has to be that like it can't just be like I have an irrational love of bakeries. I hope that every bakery that I see survives. And even though I know that restaurants and food, right, food producing establishments are the least successful businesses on average in the world, right? They open and close more than any other small business, right? It causes me deep pain every time I see a bakery close. So are you going to say, that is enough to say that my weird psychological traumatic relationship with bakeries is enough to automatically make me violate Bali Matze all of... No, obviously not, because remember... No. Because remember,
there's four words... No, remember. You can't completely ignore these words. Licha and Matsui.
If it's completely not mine, and I just happen to care about it, it has to be a care that is connected to Licha, or a care that is somehow Matsui in my property. If it's not, I just care. That's not legal. That's not legally recognized caring. But there has to be some minimal, actual legal connection. Minimal, right? But if you sold something, it's, right? Even though, yes, you once owned it, it doesn't matter. You once owned it, but you don't own it now. Yep. In my, if I rented in the space,
of course not. You are the renter. If someone buys, is renting space from you, you're the renter.
I'm the landlord. Or landlord.
Yeah.
No, because once I rented it, well, that's a continuation of more skewer. We haven't gotten there yet. We haven't gotten there. But you're asking the right questions. Okay. On that note, let's continue. I will point out that there are a bunch of cases I just am not getting to at all. Right? Meaning, I'm trying to limit myself to the cases here, but like I could give you Makarot on, cases we could go more in depth into the issues of Kachim, which I don't want to do. We could go more into depth of the cases of Mashkon, which I don't want to do, of all types of different cases. I'm just not, because like we'll never get out of this. Right? We'll just never get out of it. Maybe. But right now I want to just get through the basics here. So here's the question, right? The next case in the Gemara after the Davar Gamar Mamon is Arnona. Now, Arnona is actually quite complicated. So maybe let's come back to Arnona tomorrow and let's try to skip. So skip to the two dots and we'll come back to Arnona tomorrow. Arnona, I didn't give you English on that, right? Arnona, you'll have to figure out yourself, but that's Rashi, Rabbeinu Hananel, Tosfot, and the Tshuvas HaRashba. I should have mentioned that. I put the Tshuvas HaRashba, but I didn't notice that it's connected to Arnona. So just know that this Tshuvas HaRashba here is connected to Arnona. Let's go to the two dots, okay? Tan Rabbana. Nachri she'nichnas l'chatzero shel Yisrael. If a non-Jew comes into my property, so Mordechai goes to Mordechai. Okay?
Yeah.
Uvetz, two dots. Vavim and Aleph. Two dots. There you go. Uvatseko biado with his dough. Ein zakuk livaer. Mordechai doesn't need to get rid of the chametz. Why don't you have to get rid of the chametz, Mordechai?
Not mine.
It's not yours. And the guy, right? At all. Hifkidu etzlo. If he makes you a shomer, he deposits by you, then zakuk livaer. Then you have to.
Accepted.
Whatever liability you accepted based on what we saw before. Right? Yes? So free with me? Yichid lo bayit ein zakuk levayer. Right, but if I told him put it there, then I'm not. Shneemar lo yimatze. Why? Lo yimatze.
I'm not finding my house.
And the Gemara says. So the Gemara says, my kamar. What are you talking about? Amar papa areisha kai. This is. It's going on the reisha. Meaning mahachi kamar. Hifkido etzlo. If Mordechai gave it to Mordechai to guard. Zakuk levar, Mordechai has to get rid of it. Shnemar lo yimatzei. Right? Lo Yimatzei is simply explaining why Mordechai has to get rid of something which isn't his, only something he's guarding. That analysis, have we done already? Yes, we've already done that. That's this. Yes? Good. We're done with that. That's the first day on the Gemara. Rav Ashi Amar, no. Rav Ashi says, Lolma Seifa Kai. The Yichid Lobayit issue is relevant to the second half of the Halacha. V'hachi Kamar. Yichid Lobayit, Ein Zakuk Liva'er. Exactly as Mordechai had said before. If Mordechai tells Mordechai, put it there, I'm Patur. Shene'emar, as it says, Lo Yimotse Bivatechem, don't find it in your house. V'halav Didehu. And it's not Mordechai's. Denachri ki kama'ayel avete, le'avete denafshe kama'ayel. Because when Mordechai puts it on this square, he is taking it into his house.
Yeah.
The Gemara says, what do you mean he's taking it into his house? How do you
he's
get there?
It into my house.
How'd you get there?
That's
good. That's so the Gemara says, le'meimron, this goes to Avi's point, dischirut kanya, it must be that Mordechai is essentially renting it to him, and you must be conceptualizing rental as selling. And therefore, it's as if Mordechai temporarily sold this square foot of his house to Mordechai. Vatnan, where is that? Is that true? But we say that Afim Makom Shamru Lahaskir, that even where we say rent, Lo Leve Dira Amru, right, that when you are allowed to rent to non-Jews, this is based on a sugya in Avodah Zarah, that even when you're allowed to rent property to non-Jews, you're not allowed to rent them a house. Why? Because the guy is going to bring Avodah Zarah into the house. Now, what's the assumption of the Gemara in Avodah Zarah? Is that why is Mordechai not allowed to rent his house to Mordechai? Because Mordechai is going to bring in an idol of Marduk. Right? No. So, but what's the problem? Well, guys, what's the problem? What, the Gemara in Avodah Zarah says, why is that a problem? Because Schirot, Lo Kanya. Because renting is not considered selling, and therefore when Mordechai brings Marduk into Mordechai's house that he rented, it's not as if Mordechai brought Marduk into his own house. It's as if he brought Marduk into Mordechai's house. What? I'm doing this to drive you crazy, Avi. Fine, you want me to change it? Fine. Right? Fine. Mordechai rents his house to give me a good
I like Mordechai.
Hindu? No, because I need a definite idol. Whatever. Whoever, I don't know, okay? Mr. Goy, happy? Not.
Yeah.
Mr. Goy, fine. Mr. Idol worshiper who brings in idol. Okay, you happy? Generic there, okay? So the Gemara says it's usher. Why? Because it's not viewed as if Mr. Goy, also known as Mordechai, brought in the idol to his own house, in the Mordechai's house, which shows you that schirot is, that renting is not considered ownership. Because the Gemara says, V'isal kadaitok, the schirot kanya, if you thought that rental was considered ownership, then why should Mordechai care what Mordechai does? Ki kame'ayel, livete dinafshe kame'ayel. When Mordechai, or Mr. Goy, sounds very similar anyways, brings the idol into the house, he's not bringing it into Mordechai's house, he's bringing it to his own house. So which is it? Right? By Chametz, you say that when Mordechai gives him a designated space, it removes responsibility from Mordechai, which implies that this square foot belongs to the Goy. But in Avodah Zarah, we say that Mordechai is not allowed to rent out his house to Mr. Goy, because if he brings in Avodah Zarah, it won't be considered in Mr. Mordechai's house. It'll be in Mordechai's house. So the Gemara says, which is it? So what do you think the Gemara is going to answer? Shiny hacha da afke rachmana balashon lo yimatzei. Sometimes, as we've seen, lo yimatzei is stricter, and sometimes lo yimatzei is more lenient. Now it's more lenient. Misha matzui biyadcha, Yatzazeh she'eino matzui biyadcha. It has to be found in your property. And even though technically Mordechai still owns this property, the chametz is still not called matzui in his house. It's in his house, but not matzui in his house. Okay? Good. What is the case of Yiched Lo Bayit? So here there is one major machloket between Rashi and, well, pretty much everyone else. Rashi says, Klomar lo kiblu alav. El amar le'abay levanecha anach ba'achat min ha-zaviyot ein zakuk levayr. Rashi says that the only case in which Yiched Lo Bayit helps is where Mordechai accepts no achrayut from Mordegoi. He says, literally, put it there, and what happens, happens. Okay? You want to put it there? I'm not stopping you, but I accept zero liability. Okay? Now, from this, Rabbeinu David derives that Rashi holds like the Ritva, that even if he accepted the liability of Shomer Chinam, he would be liable, and that's why Rashi reads this case as I took no responsibility. Yes? Tosfot says, in the contrast, look at Tosfot, D'lo kibel ava v'achrayut, el amr le'arei bayit lefonecha, v'kashin l'rei, my area yichet, afilu lo yichet nami. He said, that makes no sense. Because what did we already say? That if Mordechai accepts no achrayut for something that's not his, what's the halacha? You're completely patur from Bal Yerai. It has nothing to do with Mordechai giving him a space to put the chametz.
Right.
It has to do with the fact that he didn't accept liability. You don't need lack of achrayut plus yichid lo bayit. Lack of achrayut, as we've already seen, is enough to make Mordechai exempt from the chametz of Mordegoi. So, therefore, Peter Shemenu Tam, the afilu b'achrayut mayri. The chiddush of this Gemara is that if Mordechai gave him a space, even if he accepts liability, he's patur. Umishom hachi mavig milo yimatzei. Because the point is it somewhat Mordechai?
Yes.
Yes, it is somewhat Mordechai. He's patur only because by giving him a space,
matzui.
It's not matzui. It is mine. It is Mordechai's partially. But it's not matzui in his property anymore because the space
is now
the goy's.
No.
No, he's saying, I am responsible. Right? I am responsible. Nevertheless, I'm patur because it might be lecha, it might be somewhat mine because I accepted liability, but because I gave him a space and said, you can put it there. What I've essentially done is bracketed that box out of my property for the purposes of Pesach, and therefore the chametz may be somewhat mine, but it's not matzui. So then I'd be exempt, barring the case of the army, possibly, where they impose liability on me. But if there's no liability and he just left it there, then I'm putzer, according to... Exactly, right? Because I don't have any achrayut. It's not mine at all. Correct, right? That's what Tosfot is saying. He's saying, look, maybe it is somewhat mine because I accepted liability. I accepted responsibility. But because I said you can only put it in that square, I've made it sort of like the goy's space. And therefore, it's somewhat mine but not found in my property. Right now, this is less extreme than the Ramban, who said that chametz is actually mine and I put it in the goy's house on putter. Right? This is something which is not fully mine. I just accepted liability. But if I accept liability, but I say you can't put it wherever you want, you have to put it in your box, then that makes it not matsui, and I'm patur.
Would this be
yes, right. And most of these Chachmei Sfarad agree, but we'll see that there's a difference. So look at Rebik's summary here on 3, right? And look at the third paragraph. I just summarized the first two. Tosfot maintains that Yichid Lo Bayit only works because the chametz actually belonged to the Nachri. The connection to the Jew is only because of Achrayut. If, however, one were to place the chametz of a Jew in the house of a Nachri, it would not remove the prohibition, right? What's the implication of Tosfot? It's the combination of factors, right? That it's not fully mine, it's only partially mine,
through achrayut,
plus it's matzui. But the implication, according to Tosfot, is that if I took my chametz and I put it in the goyis, where it's fully lecha, would I be liable? Yes. Right? Because Tosfot says you need a balance. Right? It needs to be somewhat lecha and matzui, but if it's fully lecha, then I don't need matzui. Right? If it's fully mine, it's actually mine, I just put it in the guy's house, that's not an exemption. Right? Who disagrees? Right? Or if you look here, just look at the brackets, skip down. Right? One can suggest that according to Tosfot, there are two independent transgressions. Bal yirai lecha prohibits the ownership of chametz. Yichid obay does not play a role regarding chametz which one actually owns. Bal yimatzei, on the other hand, prohibits having chametz on one's property, even though it's not actually owned. Achrayut, of course, is required. Regarding the prohibition of bateichem in your house is a basic condition. Therefore, in a case of yichid obayit, where the chametz is not considered on one's property, the prohibition is not violated. Accordingly, yichid obayit is effective only regarding chametz on which one accepted achrayut, but does not actually own. Good? What about the Chachmei Sfarad? We already saw. What does the Ramban say? I just said it. That if I put my chametz in a goy's house, am I liable? Yeah. No. Right? All right, though.
Yeah. So right? He puts it entirely on matzoi, all the way down.
Exactly. Right? And that is the position of Rabbeinu David as well.
Because L'cha only implies...
Exactly, right? So the Chachmei Sfarad go much farther than Tosfot, and they say, no, matzui tells me that even full L'cha is not enough.
Because
without matzui.
Right,
the only requirement is matzui, right? That's Ramban. Right, we saw that already 2 days ago, or yesterday, or 2 days ago, I don't remember. Okay? Good. Let's see how much time we have. We can do this. The Rush, maybe we'll read it inside. But the Rush, if you look at the end of the Gemara, actually we did read this inside, so it's okay, right? The Rush quotes a controversy concerning the opposite case: a Jew entrusts his chametz to a Nachri with Kabbalat Achrayut. Okay, we read this yesterday. Remember, we read this inside yesterday. What happens if a Jew gives his chametz to the goy and the goy accepts achrayos? So the Gaonim hold that the Jew is now not obligated at all, right? Because what do they hold? Correct, exactly. This is the opposite of the Chachmei Sfarad, right? The Chachmei Sfarad say even if it's totally mine and it's in the goy's house, it's not matzui. Right? The Gaonim say, if the Goy accepted Achrayut, that's enough to remove mine because it makes it not fully Licha. Right? Now this only works if what? Licha isn't about ownership, because is it mine? It is mine. Right? It is mine. It's just that. No, it's not the guy. The guy just has responsibility for it. And therefore, what does it lessen? It lessens my psychological connection to it because even though it's mine, now I don't really care what happens to it because worst comes to worst. Right, exactly. The guy eats my bread and he'll pay me back and I'll buy a new loaf of bread. Right? So even though it's mine, right, Rabbeinu Yonah is, the Rush is quoting the Gaon and they're saying that if I give it to the guy and that removes my psychological connection, even though it's mine, that's enough to minimize my responsibility. Rabbeinu Yonah, however, disagrees. Because as long as the Jew owns it, even if it's in the guy's house, you're chayev, right? Rabbeinu Yonah disagrees with the Ramban, disagrees with this whole analysis. The Rush just agrees with the conclusion, but does not accept his proof. Fine. The Rush says the house of a trustee is considered to be leased to the owner for the purpose of guarding the object, hence it's actually in the house of the Jew, right? So Rabbeinu Yonah says that the reason I'm chayiv if I give it to the guy in his house is because I don't need it to be in my house. I just need it to be mine. The Rosh says, you know why I'm chayiv if I give it to the guy to put it in his house? It turns into my house because he's guarding my property in his home. What's the difference between them? Rabbi Yonah focuses only on Lecha, and therefore he says, if it's mine, I'm Chayev no matter where it is. The Rosh says, no, I'm Chayev when I give it to the guy, and the guy accepts liability because now his house becomes somewhat mine, which means that he needs both Lecha and Matsui. He just happens to think that there is Matsui here. It's found. It's found. It's found. It's present. And therefore, being in the house of the Shomer makes it as if it's also in my house. Okay? Now just look at the bottom of it and we'll finish with this. Summary. Okay? If you lost it, here's the summary. In order to transgress Bal Yiran, Bal Yimatze, the Rambam requires a psychological relationship of concern or value in respect to the Chametz. Rabbi David requires ownership, and a Chayot is a weak but sufficient level of ownership. According to Ritva, even a Shomer Chinam transgresses Bal Yiran, Bal Yimatze, as any psychological interest, the fact that one is concerned about the Chametz is enough to create this transgression. According to Rabbeinu Dovid and the Rambam, only Shomer Sachar transgresses these prohibitions, but not a Shomer Chinam. Furthermore, if a Jew places his own Chametz in the house of an Achri, he's not liable. We explain that according to the Rambam, a Shomer Chinam pays because he was negligent. A Shomer Sachar, however, pays because of his responsibility for the object. According to Tosfot, only one with full responsibility, including Chi of Ones, over the Muktzah is liable. Furthermore, if the Jew owns the Chametz, the prohibition is not removed by placing it in the house of the Nachri. Okay? So what we've seen is like, I don't know, 5, 6, 7, I don't know how many cases have we seen, right? Of all these borderline ownership cases, right? And where we see where, what again, what's being balanced over and over again is, do we require ownership and how much ownership and how do we define it? Or do we require something different and how do we do that? We saw that in the case of Shomer, we saw that in the case of Shomer with a guy, we saw that in the case of the guy giving it to me, we saw it in the case of Yichud Lo Bayit, we saw it in the case of Hefker, we saw it in, I don't remember what cases we saw, right? We've seen it over and over. There's one major case that we have left, and that is the very confusing case of Arnona. Unfortunately, I do not have an English summary of you, of Arnona, so just...
It's complicated a lot.
It really is. Arnona is quite complicated. It's a little bit, I mean, whatever. It's confusing. It's a little bit confusing. I don't know if it's super confusing. It's confusing. Basically, tomorrow, what I want you to do is work on Arnona, okay? So, which is, that's the case at the top of Vav Amud Aleph, until the two dots. Look at Rashi, Tosfot, Rabbeinu Hananel, and the Shut Rashba. Bominate till the two dots.
Oh, right.
Try to get that. And the truth is, I don't know, that might take you all of Seder, I'm not sure. If it takes you all of Seder, then fine. If it doesn't, then I guess start on the Gemara, because the next Seder we're going to do is Shloshim Yom, called Machag, which more or less, the Gemara goes all the way, it's an easy Gemara, but it more or less goes all the way to the two dots on the bottom of Vav Amud Bet. We're not going to focus now on the issue of chronology, right? The Gemara here is going to bring up the issue of chronology in Torah, of Ein Muktam Mukhar B'Torah. We'll spend one year afterwards on why the Torah doesn't always go in chronological order. Just because the Gemara brings it up here.
Is it going to be like sources?
Yeah, I'll give you basic sources on that. Basically, what? Correct.
I'm asking, is that shear going to look like this?
No, it won't be that complicated. I mean, you'll see that it's clear that sometimes the Torah goes out of order, and the question of how frequently we let you invoke that rule is a machlokes Rashi Ramban, and we'll talk a little bit about what it means about the way Torah works, that it doesn't go in order. Rashi is maximal, Ramban is minimal. We'll talk about that. Okay, but so tomorrow do Arnona, and I guess start the rest of the Gemara, and then what's today, Tuesday? So definitely Thursday, Sunday, we're going to do Shloshim Yom, and then we have a guest cheer on Monday, so... Pesach break, wow, no chum.